Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kings, depending on your vernacular. We back like Brostrov, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a minute, but hey, life happens, right? So we just going to jump off into it. A lot of things been happening in the Bears land. And we got the NFL draft coming upon us. And it's a lot of debates, like always, on Bears Twitter. Who should the Bears take? You're an idiot for thinking the Bears should take them. You're an idiot. I watched the tape. You know, the same BS that's always going on, bro. Everybody's an expert. So how are we feeling about the draft? And who the hell y'all think we should take? And why the hell do you think we should take them?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. In all honesty, I know we need a left tackle. I know we need an edge. I know we need a back. And I'm gonna be totally honest. The only way I would take a running back is if Ashton Jeanty fell to number 10. That would be the only reason I would take a running back, because he would alleviate a lot of pressure off of Caleb. Number one. He would hide a lot of Caleb's inefficiencies because he's not there. And regardless of people want to say that he is, he's not. We saw in competitive games him only average 130 yards, okay? When games are competitive, he's only averaging 130 passing yards. Let that sink in, folks. I'm dead-ass serious when I say this, you know?
They ain't got a rebuttal for that.
No, I'm dead serious. And games that it was competitive, I'm talking about under, it was a one score game, he's only averaged 130 passing yards. And that's the honest to God truth. They brought the stat up, I want to say, against the last game against the Green Bay Packers. When the game is one score and under, he's averaging 130 to 150. When the game is two scores or more, he's throwing for about 250 to 300 yards a game, meaning the games are well out of hand. What he's doing is what they would call for a Matt Stafford, or they would call Matt Stafford pad Statford, meaning he was padding his stats when he was in Detroit. And Detroit would be getting their ass beat like that. And Matthew Stafford to throw for 300 yards, but, you know, 300, 400 yards off 40 to 50 attempts. We don't want that from our quarterback. He's young, right? We don't want him throwing 50 damn times a game. We saw that against the Texans. We saw that, you know, in games where we were just getting handled. So, no, we don't want that. And what we want is we want a running back that's going to alleviate that pressure. So he'll hide a lot of his inefficiencies. If he's not there, then that tight end from Penn State is there, take him without a doubt. Take him without a doubt. You cannot pass that up. I don't give a damn about Cole Kmet being there. He's better than Cole Kmet right now. And that's the honest to God truth. He is basically what the tight end from Georgia, Bowers. He's Brock Bowers, you know, everything Brock Bowers was. Those would be my two. I know a lot of people, you know, want the offensive tackles. I would want them, but the thing is, and this is a big thing about the arm length of these tackles that's going into, like, Will Campbell. He has the arm. He has, I think he has under 33-inch arms. And then, of course, the next best thing, I want to say the next best tackle is, I want to say, the tackle out of Missouri. And he's very raw and undeveloped as well. I don't want to go with projects on my offensive line at the left tackle spot. So I would kind of hold off on that. If you're going to draft a project, you can draft him with one of them two picks in the second round, in my opinion. But again, this is just my opinion. I would go, you know, and then as far as an edge, I mean, shit, if it ain't Abdul Carter, man, everybody else is like, you know, Abdul Carter or Mason Graham, you know, the D tackle. If it ain't one of them that's falling to us, which I'm pretty sure they'll be gone by the time that we pick. And that's Mason Graham, that's Abdul Carter, and And shit, them two defensive studs, they're gone. I think in all honesty, there's only like six blue chip type players in this draft in the first round. And those six will be, you know, four of them will be gone for sure by the time we pick. You know, and I'm hoping that one of them, like somebody jumps up the draft board or something and they fall to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the situation and everything as it unfolds. You know, the Bears at number 10, you know, you're going to fall out of the contention for the blue chip type of players, right? The cream of the crop, you might say, of this draft. You got guys like Travis Hunter and, you know, like the dude you were talking about, Warren out of Penn State. You know, you got these guys, Genty, all of these guys. You got about five or six of them that's really, really top notch that are going to be heavy hitters in the NFL, probably, right? They go to the right situation and get in the right schemes and everything like that. They'll flourish. And then you got a bunch of guys that's second fiddle after that. So, you know, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, any of those five or six guys, if they drop, take them because it's a blue chip. I want a blue chip. I don't care what position it is, right? So if it's a blue chip guy and he's available at 10, you snatch him up. If these guys are not available, you know, there's a guy that's 6'5", 320 pounds, plays left tackle, played left guard as well. Won the Lombardi and the Outback Trophy this past year. 40 starts under his belt, you know what I mean? Just turned 21 in March, so he will be 21 years old for his whole entire rookie season. Like, you know, and he's a Texas boy, so you already know I like that. And I'm talking about Calvin Banks Jr. So I think he's a solid piece. He'll be a guy that can play in this league for a long time. Is he going to be the most dominant? Of course not. You know what I mean? That's not what we're looking at right now. But he can develop into that. And he's so young. You got to think about it. This dude was playing at 20 years old. You know what I mean? 19, 18 years old in college, starting at Texas University, right? So, you know, when he's still a young pup when it comes to his manhood, he don't know his own strength yet. Let's just be real about it. At 21, he don't know it. So as he develops and gets older, 22, 23, he'll be, you know, he's got the potential to be a really, really good player. So, you know, I look at somebody like that at 10, I take him if those other guys are off the board. Just my opinion.
I look at it the same way, bro. It's like, it's hard to say that Genty's going to be there. I know we would want him to be there, but we don't control that. Same thing with Tyler Warren. And so you got to have, like I said, like Ned said, like you said, Dan, if those dudes are on the board, you sprint to the podium and take them. But you know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to take them, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you have to be ready. You got to be ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, picking a tackle, you just finish out the offensive line, man, and it's probably the best bet, in my opinion, if you can't get one of the guys. Because you look at the tackle situation, what you got? You got Bryson Jones, he's coming off an injury.
He's walking around in a walking boot. Oh my God, man.
Yeah, somebody told me he was off, so out the walking boot. Because I got like a million tweets from that. He out the walking boot. He out the walking boot, but Karen, he didn't look that great. I mean, you can say, well, he got potential, but do you want to rest your franchise, the most important position off his line, on a guy who didn't look that great and a guy that's hurt?
Right.
That's sketchy, bro. When you went and got the left guard, a Hall of Fame left guard, a starting center, a Pro Bowler right guard, you got a top 10 pick on the right side, and you got, I don't know what, on the left side. It makes sense that the Bears are going to finish that completion at the offensive line, in my opinion. It makes sense. So I think that's probably what we're going to deal with, because I know a lot of people want everybody else, but I don't know if those dudes are going to be available, bro. You know? And then you can get a running back in the second round. There's plenty of running backs
getting a – and this is my honest-to-God take on this. If I'm not getting a running back – if I'm not getting Genty, I'm not taking any – I'm not wasting a pick on a running back at that point. If I'm not getting Genty, I mean, I'm not wasting a pick. I'll pick up somebody off the scrap heap. You know what I'm saying? That could give me solid contributions. after Swift. And that's just being real. I'm not wasting another pick on those guys, because those guys ain't you. If you're going to take a back, he better be damn well exceptional. You know, like Ashton Jeanty. He better be damn well exceptional. After Jeanty, I don't the rest of those backs. My man from Iowa, I don't see it, bro. I don't. Yeah, he got good balance. That's great. He's slow as fuck to me. No, I'm serious, man. Like, you ain't walking off on nobody in the NFL with them slow ass burners. Like, he has good balance. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you looked at it. He was bigger than everybody else that he ran up, you know what I'm saying, in college. He was a big back.
Yeah.
I just don't see him doing nothing spectacular in the NFL. I just don't. Nothing screams out to me.
One running back that goes in the first round, or really first round worthy. Everybody else you can find somewhere.
And exactly.
Some of those guys you can get later on in the draft, and maybe they develop into something. Maybe you can pull something out of them.
And don't forget, what we still got, my man. What's his name? That tore his ACL in camp. Had crazy burners.
Oh, yeah. Phillip, Wheeler.
Wheeler. Yeah, we still got Wheeler.
Yeah.
So if Jeanty isn't there, you could have Wheeler, you know, you could have Wheeler back up Swift.
Yeah.
In all honesty. And people can say, oh, man, how can you go off preseason? No, dude was putting in work. He's going to get another opportunity. He's going to get another bite at
that. With that speed that he has, 4.3 speed, yeah. You definitely going to get an opportunity.
That's home run ability right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can see them drafting one of them Ohio State kids in the second round.
Jenkins or
Henderson.
Henderson. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be available.
I can see them draft both. Yeah, they'll be available. They both run 4.4s, and you just go run a back by committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing with the edge is like outside of, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The outside of Abdul Culler, maybe you got Jaywon Walker out of Georgia, but he's small, right, for our system. Yeah. So outside of that, I watched that Michael guy. What's his name? Michael Williams? Damn. He ain't do it for me, bro. You know what I mean? Like, he got to the next.
Yeah.
He had it, bro.
What about my man Timu from Ohio State?
Timu.
Yeah, I like him. But
Timo Asamoah or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, he was solid. Edge, rush edge, but you can find him in the later. You know, I'm pretty sure he will be there in the later round. Mm-hmm. But this is probably one of the most mid drafts ever I could think of in a long time, bro. In a long time. Long time. I mean, as far as, you know, and I see why the Bears jumped up and they took Rome Odunze when they did, because they was looking at the following year and was like,
At the end of the day, this is where the scouting department and Poza staff, they're going to have to make their money, because you got to do deep dives on these players. Yeah. And it's not just right there for you, right? Absolutely. Now, let's be real. There's guys that are going to be talented, athletic in this draft and things like that. But are you going to be able to identify which ones are going to be able to step up and play and contribute? You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. When you're drafting guys, you don't have to get home run hitters every single time. You just need guys that's going to contribute. They're going to pitch in. They're going to pull their weight. You know what I mean? Know their role and do their job on the football field. So, you know, everybody's not going to be a home run hitter. Everybody's, you know, but you're going to get players in this draft that can contribute. And that's what the Bears have to do. So we're going to see how well this staff does, and the scouting department, all of that stuff. You know, these guys got to be on the A game.
Absolutely. You know, that's
yeah.
That's just one of the things that, you know, again, they're going to have to make the money. And it's a lot of pressure on a lot of people this year. A lot of pressure. You know, that's why they're going out and they're spending the money. That's why they're going out and they're locking up their key pieces. You know, as we do the podcast, you know what I'm saying? My man Edwards just got paid, got a 2-year re-up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations to him.
Yeah. And those are both good extensions. You know what I mean? Because those are both young players.
Absolutely.
You're not extending them ridiculously. Like, Kyler Gordon got, 3 years? And TJ Edwards got 2 years?
Yep.
Extensions. So you're not tying your hands for 5 years down the line. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's not what you're doing. You're still being able to be flexible. Those guys still got to come and play. they're still going to be motivated to play because they're not just paid and laid up now. You know what I'm saying? Chilling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are really good signings. And to be honest, TJ Edwards, he was getting paid, what, $7 million yeah. last year or mm-hmm. something like that? And he's done jumped up to like 10 this yeah. year. He's still yeah. underpaid, bro. He's still underpaid.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's showing love to the Bears because that's his squad. He liked the Bears. He grew yeah. up watching the Bears. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's cool to have a little bit of home cooking when it comes to signing guys and things like that. Very good player. I think he's probably the best of the front seven that we had last year playing. He was the most consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consistent. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's definitely. Yeah, man. I like those signings, bro. I like those signings. And like you said, the Bears got to earn their money, bro, because there's going to be players in this draft that's going to go off and go
yep.
off.
Yeah.
Be good players that no yep. one really knew. And you got to select them.
So,
when I tell people, like, hey, man, I'm cool with the Bears dropping the tackle with 10, they be like, I don't know how these players. That's what their job is, bro. Your job is to determine if Kevin Banks or the dude from the guy that coming off the injury to Ohio State, was his name, Simmons,
yeah.
Conley at Oregon.
Yeah.
Are these guys legitimate left tackles in the NFL? I don't get paid to do it. I can say whatever the hell I want to say.
Right.
And act like I ain't saying like everybody else on Twitter.
Right.
They got to pick that motherfucker.
Right.
He got to play. You know what I mean? So it's on them.
It's because on
guess
them.
What? Ashton Jeanty probably not going to be there. I know a lot of people, everybody on Bears Twitter, if you say you want to pick anything but Ashton Jeanty, they on your neck. Bro, it ain't our decision.
Exactly.
We got 9 people in front of us that can pick Ashton Jeanty.
Exactly.
And I don't think the Bears should move up to pick him.
No.
No. No.
No.
If he fall to you, he fall to you. It was just
I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up draft capital for that. No.
At all.
No.
At all.
Or running back.
No.
No.
Well, you know,
it's too many things. It's too many things that can go wrong with a running back. ACL. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got guys, you know, they just break down, their bodies break down after 2 or 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like look mm-hmm. at guys in the NFL. The average life of a NFL player or a running back is like no a running back is like 2.3 years or something like that, like mm-hmm. and that's including all of the guys that play 8, 9, 10 years. So think about mm-hmm. how many guys play 1 year, 2 years, and they're out the league because their body cannot deal with the pounding that they take.
Remember Todd Gurley?
Yeah, Todd Gurley, yeah. 25 years old, he was done. Ezekiel Elliott, 27, Ezekiel Elliott, he was done.
Yeah.
27. the longevity there is just not there, bro. It's not.
It's
there.
A lot of great running backs that came. What's his name? Larry Johnson from Kansas City back in the day.
Johnson, Priest Holmes,
done. Jamal Charles, done.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's crazy though, because when you think about that, right? Back in the day, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, these guys played for years. Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, yeah. Neil.
These were some different kind of niggas. These were some different kind of niggas. They was built different, bro. These niggas was built different. Straight up. They was just built different. They was some workhorse backs. Legit workhorse backs.
Workhorse, bro.
These wasn't no niggas converted to running back. These was some straight born to be a running back. Just I'm bred to be a back. That's it.
Yeah.
300 carries a year for 10 years straight. You know what I mean?
Running for 2,000 yards a year like Eric Dickerson, just back to back.
Back to back.
I think the last of that breed, man, I would say it was Frank Gore. Honestly.
Yeah,
very durable.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
durable. Shit, he played about damn near 20
Tomlinson
years.
Was pretty durable. Tomlinson?
Yeah. LaDainian?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's rare, man. And anybody want to point out to Saquon Barkley, but check this out. He didn't win the Super Bowl with the team that drafted him.
Right. Exactly.
That's it.
That's as true as you can put it.
He didn't.
That's as
true
as
you like
can put
it. Yeah, they drafted him and rode him to the Super Bowl. And not only on top of that, bro, we're going to act like the Eagles didn't have the best offensive line and defensive line in the NFL. It was a difference when he was running behind that shitty Giants offensive line he got behind the Eagles.
Right. Right.
Got behind him and everything turned well.
Huge difference. Yeah,
threatening to break the record and everything this year, wasn't he?
Speaking of the Philly Eagles, man, shout out to Jalen Hurts, man. Big time shout out. You know what I'm saying? Jalen Hurts. He was named Times 100 most influential people. That's big, man. You know what I'm saying? That's big. That's big. I seen people was hating. A lot of people was hating, you know what I'm saying, on Jalen Hurts. It's like, man, what is there to hate on? The man damn near threw for 300 and ran for 100. Like,
yeah.
Like, you tripping. Like, the hate is real. The hate is real, but however, what have you, what not. So, leading into this segue, speaking of hate, who do you think is under a lot of pressure this upcoming season?
On the Chicago Bears squad?
Absolutely.
All right, well, I'll let Will go, and then I'll go.
Under pressure. I know you're going there, but I got somebody else who's under pressure.
Okay.
Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles
is not a player. He's under pressure because this is his second head coach, and we already said you get that first head coach, right? You're on your second. Everybody says Ben Johnson is legit. So they gave you the stamp of approval. You got the first round overall draft pick the year before. You got Ben Johnson. You finally did something to the offensive line. So the Bears need to start winning some games, bro.
Because
eventually winning the offseason is great, right? Offseason champs, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Back-to-back offseason champs, baby. Back-to-back.
What year we
in? 3 years straight.
3 years straight. We got it. We ain't got to win a season yet, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Pace, as much as we gave him shit, he made the playoffs twice. We got to get in the playoffs. We got to get a wild card.
Got to get in there somehow.
We got to get in there.
Get in there.
You know what? Another 5-6 win, 7-win season, bro. Woo.
Man. Man.
Man.
I'm going to tell you, I disagree a little bit with that because I believe he's set. He's set for... They're going to ride with him for, like, maybe Caleb's contract.
Because if they start off,
let's say they go 5 and, you know, whatever, 12. I still don't think they fire him yet. Because if you do, you got a coach that now is under a new regime. You know what I mean? So, to me, you got to ride this thing out. I think you got to have him... The coach and Caleb are married together at least through Caleb's rookie contract. 3 more years, and if something don't pop in the next 3 years, then everybody got to go. And you restart. That's the only way to do it. Otherwise, we'd be doing the same thing again. We can't fall back into that. So, the heat is on him from the fans' perspective, from the fan base. I'm certain. People are going to be talking about him because they did it already. But I just feel like you can't cut bait with him right now. Even if they start off bad, you got to figure it out somehow, some way. And you have to be patient with it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of teams where sometimes patience pays off in the long run. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking. But does he have to make things happen? Absolutely. That's why they get paid. Like I said, the scouting squad, they're on the hot seat because, hey, you know, you guys got to do a deep dive. You got to do your job this year. You know what I mean? You don't get the number one draft pick. You know what I mean? You don't get 2 top 10 picks. You get 1 first rounder that's a 10th pick, and then you got to make sure things work out. So they got their hands full. I think that falls on his shoulders, of course. This is going to, you know, be a crazy draft for Poles. It's going to be very important for him and for the team being built out as well. As far as somebody that's on the hot seat, I'm probably thinking the same way Nez is. It got to be Caleb, bro. It got to be Caleb.
Without a doubt.
I mean, the reason is Caleb, in my opinion, is because with the first round, being the first round draft picked overall in 2024, being heralded as the best quarterback prospect since
generational,
Andrew Luck.
What they say, generational
talent. You know what I mean? Man that walks on water.
Ooh,
he
shit.
Can float up to the moon if you ask him to. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
With all of that comes lofty expectations, bro. And at this point in time, you got to start producing, and you got to start producing, not just producing, but you got to produce at a high level now.
Yeah.
Because you got what you need around you. This team is vastly improved when it comes to the offensive line. You got weapons, of course. You still have. They gave you your wide receiver in the same draft as you. You got DJ Moore. You still got Cole Kmet. You're going to get another weapon in this draft, probably.
Yeah.
So you got plenty of talent and it's now it's time to start producing. We need to start seeing dividends from what we paid out for him. Straight up.
Woo. Well, I'm a dig a little deeper on that. Just a little deeper. Just
get in there
deeper.
With the shovel, dog. Go ahead. Go to work.
But you goddamn right. All the pressure is on Caleb Williams. And I'm going to state my facts why. Because, you know, I watched everybody, you know, when this time last year, we had just traded Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And everybody had everything to say, oh my God, you put Caleb on this roster with this team the way it's structured right now. We are a perennial playoff contender. Let me run that back. They said perennial playoff contender. They said from that point, they said, I tell you what, you swap Fields out and you put Caleb in. This team, without a doubt, makes the playoffs. Well, wrong. Wrong. Well, as Charlie Murphy would like to say, wrong. So, okay, we had a weaker, supposed to be a weaker schedule, right? Wrong. That turned out to be one of the toughest schedules in the NFL. Because all those bad teams fucking got good on our ass. Like, overnight. Like, goddamn. These motherfuckers are pretty
something
good.
We can't do. What we can't do, they did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers got pretty good. Not only, and this isn't from, and this is just a win-loss perspective. You know, this isn't a win-loss, it's just solely a win-loss perspective. But I want people to understand something. As Dan pointed out, Caleb was supposed to be the without a doubt sequential number one can't miss prospect since Andrew Luck. A quarterback guru, a quarterback savant, someone who's supposed to have it not only physically. Justin Fields had it physically, but what they said the difference between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams is Caleb Williams can process quicker. Can see it before speed it actually happens. Come to find out this past season, he turned exactly into what Justin Fields was. He was doubting himself. He was questioning what he saw. He was late on his throws, and he was overthrowing.
And he was refusing to check down.
Absolutely. At least Justin was money on the deep ball. This motherfucker wasn't even deep. He wasn't even money. He was overthrowing motherfuckers by 15 yards. Like, damn, bro. Is your depth perception fucked off? Like, are you not seeing the trajectory of, damn, let me throw it this far? Or he was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to throw it and hopefully don't nobody pick this shit. And if he can't get it, ain't nobody going to get it.
Guess what? Just to add to that, I'm going to let you keep going. But just to add to that, to let people know how inaccurate he was downfield, the Bears had three wide receivers, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Romo Odunze, all in the top, I think, eight of balls that were thrown to them that were uncatchable. Uncatchable balls. All three of their wide receivers are in there. That's on the quarterback, people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this ain't bagging on Caleb because he's subject to criticism. And that's what we're doing. We're giving him constructive criticism. He has a lot to work on, folks. A lot to work on. This is why I say this is why we need, me in my personal opinion, we need somebody to take the load off this motherfucker so he's not throwing 30 to 40 to 50 times a game. I want this motherfucker throwing about 20 to 25. That's it. I only want you throwing 20 to 25 times a game, bro, because you not there yet.
Tom Brady wasn't throwing 30 times a game in his rookie year.
Not in his first 5 years.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger either.
Absolutely. Like, this is what we were trying to break down last season, and we were trying to get y'all to understand, look, you don't bring a quarterback along. This ain't Madden, bro. This ain't Madden at all. You bring a quarterback along, you give him 20 to 25 throws. 15 of them motherfuckers are going to be scripted. Okay? 15 of them should
five
be scripted. Absolutely. So, this is why I say the pressure is on Caleb Williams, because let me tell you something, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, Jaden Daniels was what you thought Caleb Williams was supposed to be. And I know it hurts to hear that. I know it hurts tonight. God damn, maybe we may have missed out again. First, it was, you know, we missed out on, you know, the fact of Patrick Mahomes, you know, and then at the time, I mean, hell, you know, we missed out on Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson, hands down, was supposed to be the number one pick quarterback, period. It was supposed to be the number one quarterback off the board, right? And then Patrick Mahomes. Well, we missed both of them, and we ended up with Mitch Trubisky. All right, well, you know, wash, rinse, and repeat, right? So now, like, damn, we got this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? We got the guy that we wanted, or supposedly, but we didn't do our due diligence neither, because Jaden Daniels wasn't brought in for an interview. He wasn't brought in for a visit. Nothing. You had your mind made up that, without a doubt, Caleb was the guy. And other brains out there said, no, he's good, but Jaden Daniels is better. And you didn't want to hear that. Nobody wanted to hear that. And I don't want to hear about the Washington Commanders team being just as, oh, no, they were loaded and they were this. Because, no, the motherfuckers picked one pick behind us. They were just as bad. Okay? We sucked equally. It just so happened we end up getting the goddamn pick. All right? We sucked equally. Okay? And for the fact that they went from worst to damn near first in one season, they was in the NFC championship game. Quarterback, offensive rookie of the year, and really had numbers up there to compete with MVP for the season. Whether y'all motherfuckers want to admit it or not. That's a problem. That's a problem. That is a huge problem. And solely, and he was the sole reason for the turnaround. I don't give a damn. Oh, well, they added this person, that person, this person. They added that person. Who was the one constant? It was Jaden Daniels.
Right.
And he took them to the NFC Championship game. Beat the shit out of the Detroit Lions, who was heavily favored to be in the Super Bowl. They whooped them at home. Jaden Daniels got his rocks off. I believe he threw for 300 that game, did he not? Did he throw for three bills in that divisional game? I know he threw. He threw for a couple tutties. I know that's for sure. Three bills. If it wasn't three bills, he was damn close. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is where I say the pressure is mounting, because now, and not just him, Bo Nix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bo Nix out there in Denver. Your counterparts are shining, Caleb.
Yeah.
Your counterparts are shining, and was in probably worse, if not, was in bad situations just as much as you were. Now, you could say coaching, right? Well, I don't want to hear that, because again, you didn't want to hear it for the last guy. You didn't want to hear about coaching. You didn't want to hear about O-line play, but yet these are the same issues that we got for this. You know, come on, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hear it, because guess what? You didn't want to hear it last year. You said, meaning the collective, you said out of your mouth, if you take him off this team and play and insert Caleb Williams, they're better.
Well, life was going to be peaches and cream at that point.
Yeah,
we told him that shit wasn't going to happen. Yeah. We told him, but see, now everybody get to see who knows what the hell they talking about. He didn't. It was a lot of people, bro, that was just using that. They were boosting Caleb. They didn't even know what the hell. They didn't even see Caleb Williams play, bro. Just wanted the bad fields. And you still catch a few guys out there like, oh, no, fields. Like, bro, what the hell? He banged your girlfriend or something, bro? You know what I mean? We told you, dumb motherfuckers. Bears offensive line was trash. Mm-hmm. We told you Eberflus was trash.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Like, the one thing I will say, I'll give Sean Payton a better coach than Matt Eberflus. Everybody on the bench, and Dan Quinn. They're excellent coaches. I wanted the Bears to draft. I mean, hire Dan Quinn but they hired fucking Matt Eberflus. So you know what I mean. We missed again. So coaching matters, no matter what
coaching definitely matters.
The internet says. Absolutely. Offensive line matters no matter how what these idiots are. That's why the only people, like you guys said, I would draft over offensive linemen is fucking Tyler Warren and Ashton Jensen. Outside of that, give me a fucking offensive line. Mm-hmm. No, don't. All these people making excuses. No, we can live with the left tackle. No, those are the same people that if Caleb is out there getting his ass split in half,
we'd be
like, no, oh, you know,
we don't have no line. The line is trash.
Get the fuck, because you, Kelvin Bates Jr. will be there, and he has what Mike Tate say, he has an ass like a guard. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Braxton Jones, what they say about Braxton, he need to get his anchor.
He has no anchor.
It's your ass. It's your ass and your quads.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. You need a big, boy, no out there with big ass that can't get pushed open. You know, Braxton Jones getting his ass pushed into the Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. He's just getting his ass dog-walked back there. No, just get it left tackle. Now you're going to see if Caleb Williams can play or not, because Ben Johnson, we saw what he can do. Fix the offensive line. We got Rome. We got DJ. We just the guy from he was on Redskins last year.
Zacchaeus.
We got Cole Kmet. Get us another running back to pair with Swift. And let's see what we got. And if he trash, like, I don't think it's gonna be. If he ain't good, I don't think it's gonna be three. I think they give him two and his ass done.
Yeah.
And we back in the rain. We back in the same thing. I will say this. I have a little bit more faith. I do think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. I think he was overrated, and I felt the fan base and the media 670 to score. All these motherfuckers, they hyped his ass up and made him out to be QB Jesus.
Yes.
Yep. He was going to walk on water and do it. And we were looking at the tape like, he hold on to the ball too.
Dude.
He let the college NFL and fumbles.
Yes.
Yeah.
We told you, mother. We told you. And then what do? He run around in circles, get fucking strip sack, and they were like, they were like, Justin Fields is an idiot. I'm like, Caleb Williams does the same shit. He does the same shit.
It's just Justin Fields can turn that bitch into an 80-yard touchdown. Yeah. Caleb can.
I remember what, last year when we was doing it, we did a show, a podcast, and I think we mentioned it, right? Where people was dogging Justin Fields. Oh, he's stupid. He threw the ball into somebody's helmet, blah, blah, blah.
I know.
Caleb turned around and did the same thing last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they placed no blame on Caleb. It was the offensive lineman's fault. It was prior. Get your head out of the way. He's 6'9". Like,
Move your head.
Yeah, they were playing that clip. Justin Fields was an idiot. They just kept throwing some. That shit happens to every goddamn quarterback in the NFL, bro.
You know,
it happens, bro. Here's the thing. This is what I don't want to see from Bears fans and media, all of them, anybody, right? Stop with the excuses.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's okay. I want to see Caleb do well. He plays for my squad. I want to see him do good. But we can't sit here and have excuses and place blame at everybody else's feet. I can go through it. Week one, it was DeAndre Swift. Then it turned to Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeAndre Swift was, he's overrated. He's trash. He ain't that good. Then it was Keenan Allen's a fat boy. He done fell off. He's slow. He can't run. You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. Then it was DJ Moore. He's a cancer in the locker room. He's a bad attitude. He's not engaged. Blah, blah, blah. Then it turned into, Cole Kmet. Then it turned into the offensive line. It turned into the defense. It turned into everybody.
Wrong with Dulce, it was everybody. Mm-hmm.
Everybody and anybody except Caleb Williams. He could do no wrong. Now, we just got to be honest, bro. Like there's some good plays that he made out there, right? But there's some horrible plays that he made out there.
Yes.
He got to cut the horrible plays down, because we'll never win with him making horrible plays like that.
Yeah.
We'll never win. So he got to cut those down. He got to get rid of the ball faster. He got to process quicker. He has to study more. He has to do some of these things. And he has to establish a relationship on the field. I ain't talking about off the field. I can care less. On the field, you got to have an established relationship with your veteran wide receivers as well as your rookie. He had it with Romo Odunze for a little while.
He didn't have it
Did
with
not
DJ
have
Moore.
It with DJ Moore or Keenan Allen, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So you need those guys. Those guys are veterans that put up numbers. They put up numbers. DJ Moore has put up consistent numbers with inferior talent.
Yes.
Quarterbacks that don't need to be, that shouldn't be playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta call it how you see it, man. And at the end of the day, we can't we can't place blame on everybody else. Y'all didn't want to place blame on those guys when Justin Fields was out there. We not going to do it with Caleb Williams.
Absolutely.
Straight up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We ain't going
to
do it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that goes back to that. People got to justify the arguments that they made all offseason, right? I mean, didn't a bunch of dudes deactivate their accounts?
Not
the
last yeah, yeah. Some of them starting to crawl out of their hole now thinking it's safe. Some of them starting to.
They were disappearing, bro. They were like, oh, no, I'm out of here, bro. And we told them.
Shit, they was gone. They was gone about week 11, week 12. Like, damn, what happened?
That's what I'm saying.
It's quiet around here. It just is
they were
what it
attacking
is.
People. Yeah.
But
I think Ben Johnson's legit though. I think he's gonna put a foot in Caleb's ass though.
He's gonna have to.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
He's gonna have to. But again, another 5-12 season. Again, we go back to that pressure. Another 5-12 season and another dud by our supposedly generational quarterback. It's gonna get loud. It's gonna get real loud. And to quote my man from The Water Boy, it's gonna get awfully awfully physical around him. It's gonna get bad, man. It's going to get bad.
Again, bro.
Because now motherfuckers is looking like, dog, I gave you two seasons. I gave you a coach. I gave you, and I do not want this for Caleb at all.
No, we don't, man.
However, if you do not produce, young man, you think this city will turn on you quicker than a $2 hole when you ain't got her money. I am not playing. I mean, immediately they will turn on you. Okay? All of these David Kaplans and everybody who's, yeah, Caleb, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, he's incredible. Fuck around and start out 0-3. He's trash. The Bears need to find a way to get rid of him.
It's time to have that conversation. It's time to have this conversation.
Guys, the Caleb cult members out there, you already know the Caleb cult members out there, he's not a good quarterback. Bottom line, the Jay Hoods, the David Kaplans, mm-hmm. the Tom Waddles, they will, listen, man. This is your season. You don't have three. They're not allowing you to develop, my brother. I'm going to tell you that now. Yeah. Your time to develop was last year.
Yeah. You behind
the eight ball right now. And that's what I want people to understand what I'm talking about. You don't have 4 to 5 years of maturation in Chicago. You don't. You either come out and be the finished product or they're going to scrap your ass. And by that time you get that label on you, now you're going to the next team as a backup.
Yep.
And that's the honest to God truth. I'm dead ass. You're not getting too many bites of the apple when you fuck up this year. I'm going to tell you now. They will find a way to get rid of your ass. They will fuck around and Ryan Poles be like, fuck this shit. All right, look, I'm not getting fired. I'm going to trade you or I'm going to tank. It's one of the two. Arch Manning.
That's the thing with Ryan Poles. I'm right. I'm Kevin Warren. You don't get another pick. Bro.
No, you
make this shit work.
Pick.
I'm gonna give you two. I'll give you two. You make this shit work, or all y'all fire.
Yeah.
Or everybody gone. Everybody
gone.
The coach is gonna be gone. The GM's gonna be gone. The quarterback. Yep.
He's gonna have
gone,
to.
And you're gonna be rebuilding the roster. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah. That's what. Ain't no Ryan Poles gonna save himself because you brought in the offensive guru, the legit one, not an Aggie. Not someone who didn't call. You brought in the legit one. He whooped your ass multiple times. You got the number one draft. Make that shit work. If it don't work, everybody gone.
Everybody
I'm going to the stadium with all new pieces. Either you all going to work or I'm going to find somebody that works.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. And so Ryan Poles, as soon as he mentioned trade Caleb Williams, I'm firing his ass. Hey, we need to fire.
Yeah. It has to work. This shit got to yield fruit, man. And you don't have the timeline that other quarterbacks have. Because, again, people are looking at what Jay – and people want to say, well, Jaden Daniels, that's once in a lifetime. No, Bo Nix. Again, y'all forgetting about Bo Nix. I mean, the motherfucker 30, but still, he was a rookie. Bo Nix last season.
Yep.
Shit, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
These are your classmates. They all went after you, but yet they're all having success. Michael Penix, we can't include him. I mean, you know, I mean, fuck, he played the last three games of the year, two.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So we can't include him. But the two that we can include, the two that we can look at, Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. They went right after you.
And this is where Caleb got to lock in. Caleb got to say, okay, you know what? I need help because look, that's for that first year. And see, that's the other thing. You know, you got some of the Caleb fans that are just, you know, well, he did have a good year. He did this, he did that, he did, you know, he threw for this many yards. Look, let's just be real. It was a bad season.
It wasn't a good season.
It wasn't a great season by any stretch of the imagination. There were times where the Bears offense was stagnant. They went through a period where they had what, 37 straight drives with two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two touchdown drives out of 37. They went a stretch of what, three games or something like that without scoring a touchdown?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that can't happen, bro. That can't happen. And you can't go through stretches in the season like that, or where you lose 7 or 8 straight games in a season and tell me he had a good season because his stats look decent. It's empty calories.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage time stats.
Especially when you're down by two or more scores.
So you know, when the game is on the line and the game is counting, what are you doing at that point? When we're getting off to a slow start and we're behind, you know, in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden we want to make some type of adjustment when they start playing prevent defense on us.
That's San
and now all
Francisco
of a sudden you
game.
Can complete some passes. That's not impressive to me, bro.
That San Fran game was awful.
I need to see you doing this in the first quarter, second quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not when a team is playing prevent defense and letting you kill the clock, basically.
Yeah.
By running up and down the field.
I got something to say too, and this is how far, you know, I was on, shout out to Aldo and Tooth, Bears Barroom. I was on that podcast and I was like, the Bears haven't won a playoff game since my daughter was born, bro. She's going to high school. Right, so let me break this down. So so far away from like being really good. Like, if you have a good coaching staff and you have good lines, you will make the playoffs. Yeah. You will be. That's why the Steelers always make the playoffs. These teams that you always see, the Ravens, they always in the playoffs. No matter who's their quarterback, Joe Flacco, the quarterback gets hurt, they put a backup because they have good coaching and they are good on the offensive and defensive line. That's the bare minimum. And that's why I've been telling the Bears got to get a legit coach, which hopefully they did, and they invested money in the lines. So at bare minimum, you should be a solid team. The quarterbacks get made in the playoffs because guess what? Everybody's good. And that's when guys start to separate themselves from the average guys and the elite guys because all the games are tight. So we have to become a good team first, right? We don't even know. Like, we ain't never gonna know if Caleb Williams or even Justin Fields or none of these guys can play because we were shit in coaching and we were shit on offensive lines and defensive lines. So the Bears gotta get good there. Hopefully, it seems like Ben Johnson is a good coach. If he's a good coach, then we gotta start. And then we'll find out once we start winning and getting in tight games with really good teams if Caleb Williams is even good. Because if he's really good, because we already know when you see the Kansas City Chiefs down 7 points, and they got 2 minutes to go. We know they're going to mark down the goddamn field. And they're going to put the ball in the end zone. And they're going to go for a two-point conversion. And it's a very good chance they're going to convert that shit.
Yep.
That's what a good team does. We ain't even at that point. We got to get a wild card. Before, you know what I mean? If we ain't winning, we done. They done. The Bears have to – bro, the Bears – I'm to the point like fuck skill position. You can make a whole draft the offensive and defensive line, and I wouldn't be mad, bro.
Yeah.
Because unless you're good in those areas, and Ben Johnson is legit, you ain't winning shit. You like these guys, Ashton Ginty, Tyler Warren, and none of that shit matters, bro. If the line getting blown up on both sides, we fuck.
If your line ain't legit, line, you ain't winning shit.
You ain't winning shit.
And that's it. That's the truth, though. That's the truth.
Because Caleb's going to get ruined, just like Justin Fields, because they seeing ghosts. Yep. He can't trust his backside because his left tackle getting his ass beat up. The center getting pushed into him. Some nigga running the wrong route. He looked up. He finally escaped. He's like, where you at? He's like, that's what Justin Fields used to do. He said, the motherfucker was like, Hassan Reddick ripping his jersey off. He's spinning left. He's looking up. Fucking wide receiver. Ain't
nobody there.
He's like, fuck it. I'm going to just run. Then some idiot on the internet, you can't recover just That guy was open. The guy was on the other side of the field. His fucking helmet is like covering half his face. Shit. You know, I'm sick of this shit, man.
Yeah. Honest to God truth, man. Honest to God truth. So,
like, you know,
I know far as draft demographic, you know, we haven't done a deep dive yet. And the draft is next week. We haven't done a deep dive into, you know, getting into our second rounds and our third rounds. I mean, hey, who gives a shit, right? I don't. I just want these just motherfuckers right to draft brand, motherfuckers who can contribute from day one. That's it.
Fuck my opinion.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I mean, we get no prizes for hitting this shit.
Just draft the right people.
Just draft the right motherfuckers, man. We don't get no prizes for saying, oh, that's my pick. You know,
I told them to draft that guy.
Right,
KJ,
you know.
That's my thing. It's like people still beating the table. Like, oh yeah, we drafted Caleb. I was right. Dog, he was the consensus number one by everybody. Everybody had it number one. You didn't see something that somebody else didn't see. Like cut that junk out. Like, for real.
Like, he was some hidden gem from motherfucking Valdosta State. Caleb, you know what I'm saying?
I told you he was gonna be good. Come on, man.
Like he was some hidden gem from Valdosta State or some shit. Yeah. I told you.
I should get a scout.
Everybody,
job.
He was gonna go number one regardless of who was picking. So chill. Yeah. Chill.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's that. You know, in the midst of them trying to get everything squared away, this, you know, will they or won't they be at, you know, fucking Arlington Heights? Will they be downtown?
Yeah, that's gonna be a good question.
Whatever. We'll see. You know, I think they're taking Arlington Heights and probably will start building there, unfortunately, because it seemed like the city has dug in. They're not doing anything about it. They really, you know, it's a politics game. They don't really want to give them the money for a new stadium. Not only are the Bears asking for a new stadium, you got the White Sox asking for a new stadium.
The White Sox don't need to be asking for nothing.
For shit. Y'all don't be asking for a goddamn thing.
No, but they suck.
You motherfuckers is butt-ass nasty. Like, y'all should be asking for shit. You motherfuckers can't even compete. You be lucky your ass ain't taking a charter bus to your next goddamn game. Treat them motherfuckers like how old girl, like, treated them niggas on Major League. Broke down buses and shit. Yeah. Like, you lucky you ain't getting treated like that. Like, I don't know how the fuck you still paying their salary.
Minor league squads. Exactly. They be staying at them travel lodges and them hotels.
Travel lodges. Motel 6.
Like, you niggas suck. God damn. Trash. Booty-os.
Yeah, y'all can't be asking for nothing. Jerry, but better get yourself together.
So, you know, ain't no telling how this stadium situation gonna go. But if they can build paradise out there in Arlington Park, you know, Arlington Heights, where, you know, you got hotels, you got casinos, you got shopping centers, everything is all dedicated to the Chicago Bears out there, restaurants. That's pretty dope, man.
I just I'm cool with it, and, you know, no doubt. I think it'll be a nice little look for the Chicago Bears, and it'll be, you know, something that you can have pride in. But I just hate to see him lead the city with Chicago.
Absolutely.
I want to see Chicago
right off
flourish
water.
Off of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not only like the businesses that's in Chicago, the bars, the little spots that you have that you can go to watch the game and things like that, or that you can leave the game and go to.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna be hit, you know what I mean, hard.
Oh yeah, everybody
goes somewhere
pinch.
Else as well. So, you know, the city would be able to get the Super Bowl. The city would be able to get, and of course, you know, it's still in Arlington Heights, so it's still kind of Chicago or whatever you want to call it. But it's not the same, man. Like, the
Super
people
Bowl,
of Chicago
Final
don't
Fours.
Benefit from it. So
yeah, the
big
people
concert
are on
venues, Heights. Yeah. I totally understand that. You know, the city would definitely face a big hit when it comes to that. You know, because that's revenue. That's all revenue.
That's the politics. That's Chicago politics, though. They do stupid stuff like that. So
that's exactly. All revenue.
Exactly. They should just make it happen, but it's Chicago, the Windy City, baby.
It is what it is. I mean, far as, you know, if we add another receiver, what receiver would you like to see them add? And, you know, would you take one of your 2 second rounders and grab one? Would you take you know, what pick? And from where?
I ain't even paying attention to receivers, man. I wouldn't draft a receiver to the
Isaiah
third,
Bond.
Fourth. Well, I'm getting fourth.
Isaiah Bond, my man from Georgia, all speed, no hands. I ain't really.
I mean,
seen
if you
no
can get Isaiah Bond, that'd be nice. He's a decent player. But I don't know, man. I'm so focused on the trenches. I want to see guys coming in. I need depth pieces. I need an edge rusher. I need, of course, a left tackle. You know what I mean? Those are the pieces that I want to see. You know, receiver, you know, I don't think we're in bad shape. I think we got DJ Moore. You got Romo Odunze. That's two guys that are nice talents.
Solid.
You got Zacchaeus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You still got Tyler Scott. So as far as receiver goes, I don't think they're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be once again, it would be a drafting of a player. If you're in good position, you know what I mean? That's a luxury type draft pick. Mm-hmm. We need certain positions, and I think that needs to be addressed before any type of receiver is drafted.
There you go. You know, just trying to help the kid out, you know, give him another escape valve.
Another
so people ain't, you know, like, hey, you know, well, he only had Romo Odunze and DJ Moore. Most quarterbacks who come up with these, most quarterbacks who are elites in the NFL and have air yards, they have at least four targets that they can complete the pass to.
No,
Caleb only had two.
They didn't say that last year.
Air yards.
This year.
No,
air yards. Okay.
I don't even have time to argue with these fools.
It's like they make up shit. Air yards.
They just
air yards.
Coming out with shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Caleb Williams develops
his anticipatory throws. He has a higher percentage of anticipatory throws.
Yeah, the shit they were saying last year was insane in offseason, bro. That shit was crazy. I was like, they were just making shit up just to bash Justin, dude. That shit was pathetic.
But dog, my man, my dog. Hey, look, my dog King Mac. Oh my god, bro. He was the number one culprit. That's my man's, dog. But come on, bro. Some of the shit he was saying was outrageous. He'd get on there and literally, Bears would lose by like fucking 40. He'd get on there. But Caleb Williams threw for about 375 yards. I'm like, yeah, but that was off like 58 attempts. And Justin Fields ain't never did it. I'm like, oh my god, are we having this conversation right now? Seriously, right now? Like, bro, we lost by 40. Of course they were sitting back letting his ass throw. The game was out of hand. And then when we play somebody good and the game is close, this motherfucker got 140 yards passing. I'm like, yo, where was what's up? What's up? I mean, you gonna give me the same?
Man, the junk looked the same to me, man, for years now. Like the Bears, I've said it, you know what I mean? Since 2018, the Bears offensively, it looks like they're walking in mud. They're playing in mud and everybody else is on grass.
Yeah.
They can't do anything. Everything is an arduous task. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Land of misfit toys, man.
There's no, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing that comes, you know, it's like they don't practice almost.
They don't just get up a drive where he just marched down the field and score. And it's just like easy. It happens to us. We're like, damn, they got the ball. 2 minutes later, they're in the end zone. They're doing the celebrations. And we like three and out.
Three and out.
I'm telling you, that San Fran game was ugly. It's like they first four drives, these motherfuckers just went down and scored with ease. I'm like, damn.
It's that easy?
Like,
they can have whoever at quarterback, too. He could be Nate Peterman, and he just marched down the field, score a touchdown. You're like, how is this?
Matt Kafka and shit.
And then I'd watch a game. Every Sunday, I watch a game, and then Sunday night game come on, and I'm watching that game, and it's like both teams are methodically moving the ball down the field and just scoring at will. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why can the Bears not do? And they got a young quarterback. It's you know what I mean. Jaden Daniels is doing it. He's putting up these awesome numbers on Sunday Night Football. And I'm sitting there like, what the heck? We can't have half a game like that. I mean, God, dog.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, everything is hard. That's why, you know, you watch Detroit, you're like, damn, dude, they make it just look easy. They out there, they're scoring. Everybody's open.
Yeah, with the same niggas that played with us. That's the fucked up part. Like, you gotta be kidding me right now. Like, with the same niggas that played with us. Like, bro, you for real? Like, man, we gotta be cursed.
Yeah, man.
Something going
that's
on.
That's why I take coaching matters, bro. That's how you know coaching matters. Cause
it does.
Outside of that, if Ben Johnson, I mean, he can't do the shit. At least, I ain't saying he need to have us the number one offense.
Right.
Year one. But we need to be respectable, goddammit. We can't be trying to hold people to 17 points and win a game 17 to 12 like we the 1985 Bears, bro.
What we say like a year ago, we said who was it, Luke Getsy, right? Getsy came in or whatever. And we was like, dog, we gotta be offensively, we gotta be with the talent that we have. I was like, we gotta be top 15 offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between 10 to 15 offensively because of the talent we had and the weapons that we had. The Bears was bottom of the barrel, bro.
Wrong.
Bottom of the barrel.
Well, they hired him. We like, oh, we gonna hire him to be offensive coordinator. He never called plays. That's all Matt LaFleur. At least we hired a guy to actually call plays. Matt Nagy didn't call plays.
His boy got fired at the same time. My man Hackman too.
That's one thing I'm gonna give the Bears credit for though. I'm gonna give the Bears credit because last year we bashed them, right? And I'm gonna be honest, we bashed them because you know what? They always went the cheap route with the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When the coaching came up, they took the cheap route. They took the second tier guy. They didn't get the top notch guy that was available. They always went with the washed up guy, like John Fox, who was washed up, or they went with Mark Trestman, who was from Canada. You know what I'm saying? So Bruce Arians. You passed on him. You passed on Dan Quinn. So this year they got the guy that everybody coveted. So I'm gonna give them credit for that. They're trying to change this thing. Mm. I don't know if that's Poles, Kevin Warren, or who, but somebody's talking to McCaskey's and they like, look, you got to get the right coach. You got to get the right situation. Going
you
got to
get with the times, man.
Yeah.
Well, I whoop your ass, though, goddamn it. Just get that cash up before I beat your ass. You might have to pay these.
Well, we call Jay Ratliff in here and he come beat somebody.
Exactly. You want me to call Jay Ratliff up here to beat your ass? You know he owe you one. They called the police on that nigga as soon as he got to the dough. They said, fuck that. They locked the doors and everything.
Jay Rat, though.
That was Ryan Pace. He locked the doors and everything on that motherfucker. Like, hell no, you get back in here.
Hell no.
You are released. He said that over intercom. You are released, sir.
Yeah. We'll mail you your shit. We'll get your shit in the mail.
Don't ever come back here.
Ever.
Like, damn.
Now, I'm going to leave a positive note, bro, because we talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
He whooped our ass, bro.
He did.
So hopefully the Bears got the next Kyle Shanahan, right? So let's say that the Bears got the next Kyle Shanahan. He gonna take Caleb Williams and we gonna rock this thing for the next decade and a half and we gonna have some success.
I hope so.
That's the hope, you know, is that we got us one. And Caleb actually can play. That the Bears are just so fucking dysfunctional that, you know, we almost ruined another quarterback. Because I thought Justin Fields was a great quarterback. They ruined, fucked him all up.
I thought he could be ruined. With him.
I didn't think he could be ruined either.
I think Aaron Glenn is a great coach, man. You know, just from the piece that I saw. And the reason think that Aaron Glenn is a great coach is because them motherfuckers in Detroit just kept going. You know how many people they lost?
Yeah, defensively.
And they still competed and still played at a high level. It was like they had four stringers out there.
Yeah.
And was still competing. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, man. But we'll see, man. Next week, we'll come back with some more draft capital. You know what I'm saying? Next week, we'll do it'll be right before the draft. We'll do our show right before the draft. We'll see what they do. We see what we want to see. We'll go over, you know what I'm saying, what's the possibilities and what could be, you know, who falls where, so what's picking up momentum. As I told people before, it all depends on what the Giants do. What the Giants do. If the Giants pass on Shedeur Sanders, the Las Vegas Raiders, they're either going to take that offensive tackle that I shared with y'all in the chat earlier, or they're going to take Shedeur Sanders. They're not taking no running back. Which could make that motherfucker fall to us. That could put him at 10. Trust me, if he's there, they're going to run to the podium and get him. They are.
Yeah, he's legit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They're going to run to the podium and get his ass. I already know. But we'll see. Again, a lot of shit can happen, man. I mean, hell, a lot of people thought Reggie Bush was going number one until Mario Williams was signing a fucking contract the night before. Everybody thought Reggie Bush was going number one. Like, Reggie Bush going number one to the Texans. Bullshit. The Mario Williams, that motherfucker went number one. Like, wow. That was a shock. But that's what happens on draft. You know, when the draft is nearest and upon us. We didn't have nobody fly off the charts at the draft and jump up the draft board and get overdrafted where they supposed to be. So it's all in the air right now. That just goes to show you how mid this goddamn draft is. But, you know, it is what it is. So we'll see next week, man. We'll see next week.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all I got too, man. It's good to be back. I'm glad we're back. I appreciate everybody for rocking with us, of course. Shout out to somebody. I'm gonna shout out to Black Dicker.
Man, that's the funniest cat doing it, man.
Black Dicker be having me dying laughing, bro. He be saying some truth though, man.
Yeah, absolute truth.
You know what I mean? So you gotta give him his credit for the way he kind of researches the game and stuff like that. So I respect what he does.
Yeah.
It's funny though, man.
Heavily thought out. And I want people to understand that they keep saying, you are the worst Bears follow. You are the worst part of Bears Twitter. Say what you want, man, but dude ain't throwing baseless, factless opinions out there. He's backing this shit up with actual research. This has nothing to do with Justin Fields or anything like that. It's actual fact. And people got to take their emotions out of it and look at it from the standpoint of, okay, Exhibit A, Exhibit B, this is what it is. And just roll with that. Now, granted, it's funny as hell how he go about it. It's hilarious. It is hilarious, man. The dude is a nut. But it's funny as hell. But he also dropping jewels, man. He's a great follow, if you ask me. Yeah, you know, people getting their feelings about it, whatever. It ain't that serious. It ain't that deep. It's never Twitter, is.
Bro. Man, it's Twitter, bro. It's Twitter, X, man. Whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Relax, people. Yeah. It is what it is. Have fun with it, man. Have fun with it.
Yep.
So,
and if you can't have fun with it, go touch some grass. Maybe that's what you need in your life.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
For real.
COVID over. Y'all can go outside now, bro. It's been over 5 years. Go play outside.
But yeah, that's all I got for the week.
Come back next week, hit them hard.
That's it for me.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
A little technical difficulty.